Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are so excited because we have a couple with us who has just one of the most beautiful stories, also just incredible role models of personal growth, of relationship growth. It's a couple that we've known for many years and we've been trying to get in here and they're finally here, Dave and Suzanne. And stay tuned because their story is really inspiring and also just really touching.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're very excited. We have a couple who we've known for quite some time. Tara's known them longer than I have, Suzanne and Dave. They went through our model years ago, like 7, 8, 9 years ago. And they are just an incredible role model, have a really wonderful story on a couple of things. And one, just two people who are really, you know, soulmates, you know, people who are meant for each other. As you'll hear their story, it'll sort of fill in the blanks there. But also two people who have done a lot of individual work, a lot of work together to really have the, you know, loving, secure relationship that they want. So welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you. Welcome, Dave.
And I'm just so excited, grateful that our listeners get to hear your story and all of the amazing work you have done to be able to have this type of love and joy with each other. I mean, that's why we have you on here. You're an awesome model of what like a secure functioning relationship is. And thank you for letting us convince you to share your story.
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
I mean, let's just start off. Because your story starts kind of so early in your lives, it'll also tell us a little bit about yourselves. I mean, just tell us about, you know, the beginning of Suzanne and Dave.
I let him tell this because I'm the villain in this story for a little bit.
Not the villain. We used to be in a club in high school. It was a junior Civitan, and they'd put on Special Olympics. We did things to raise money to, you know, help the people that were disabled. And they would do like dances and things like that. And a buddy of mine decided that he wanted to go because there's a girl he's chasing. And you know what? It still gets me. We go and he introduces, you know, me to the girl he likes. And then Suzanne walks up and dressed as a punk rocker. And man, the first time I saw her, I was like, you know, holy shit, I'm going to marry this girl. She was she just had my heart. And it's almost like they say, you know, some people say, oh, there's no such thing as love at first sight. Mm. That's true. There definitely is love at first sight.
And you were like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And for you, Suzanne, was it?
It was very much the same. We traded pictures, little, you know, remember the school pictures?
The wallet size, absolutely.
Wrote to each other and traded those photos that night. Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember looking at that picture often and just being like, he was incredible. Yeah.
So high school sweethearts, felt all the butterflies, just that like, wow, that is my person for life. So how long were you guys together?
Two and a half years.
Okay.
And what was that like? What were those two and a half years like?
We went to different high schools, so we didn't get to hang out like every day at school and so on and so forth. We got to do functions together through this club. We hung out just on weekends or whenever we could, talked on the phone, probably every night at least. So we kind of grabbed whatever time together we could.
Yeah.
So it was, and I think in a way, it was, I look back on that and it's like, that was, I don't want to say more special than, you know, if I saw you every day, because it was just the excitement of, man, we're going to go hang out or we're going to get to do this or whatever. It was all, it wasn't like, oh, I saw you at school today and now we're going to go, you know.
Like Lord. Every minute counted.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys are dating, you're like together, monogamous, right, in high school. And then what happens, like any fights, anything like that?
No, not at all.
Nothing.
I don't recall a fight at all.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then take us to, like, we know that you guys, right, end up breaking up.
Two and a half years, so you graduate from high school.
It was like before graduation, though, that we broke up. Yes.
What pulled, how do you figure out, like, what pulled you apart?
I think it a lot of it then was me being the people pleaser for my parents. My parents had an idea of what they wanted for me. They feel very badly about that now, or they did. They told, as they had Dave in their life quite a bit later, they saw all, they would say it to me all the time that, oh, wow. Yeah. But he was riding his little bicycle and not super engaged in like what he wanted to do in the world. And parents, you know, they think they know. And I definitely was heartbroken. I didn't want to do it if I think about what I wanted.
Yeah. So you broke up with him.
I broke up with him. And he tells everyone.
What was that like? What was having to do that?
It was awful. It was awful.
Because it sounds like you felt like you had to do it.
Yeah, I did feel that way.
You didn't want to do it. Your heart didn't want to do it. But you felt pressure too to make sure your parents were okay.
Yes.
Were you able to communicate that to him? Like, did
he?
No.
Which is why it was so heartbreaking to him.
How did you make sense of it?
I was extremely confused because it was almost like, you know, you go out on a Saturday, you know, it's like the best date ever. And then Sunday you get that text or whatever that I just don't want to see you anymore. So it's like, what? You know, I'm trying to think, what did I do? I'm thinking also, well, let's see. Growing up, my dad was more like, if you want something, you work your butt off and then you get it. I'm not getting it for you.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, I couldn't get a driver's license, so I couldn't get a car. So I had my little bike, as you called it.
So I thought it was cute.
That's my man right there on that bike.
That's it.
That's coffee, that green one right there. Okay,
sorry. Mine may have been yellow. I'm not sure. But I think I felt that I wasn't holding my end of the bargain up, so to speak. I mean, I wasn't – she would have to drive me everywhere. You know, if we went somewhere, she drove.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting because it's like sometimes there's things that happen to you in life that aren't like she had this whole other thing going on that she was, you know, sort of stuck, didn't have that choice, then carried out an action and it didn't make sense and it didn't really reflect anything about you
at all.
But I'm sure you like personalized
it. I took it all on myself. It was my fault.
Gosh, that
what
makes,
did I do?
That makes like so
much
sense.
I could have been more.
Right?
I wasn't enough.
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
I mean, I think in reality back at that time, I didn't think much of myself, you know, in general overall. And I used to always think, you know, man, you know, in reality, I did marry out of my league. She's way out of my league.
Not true at all.
So I think then it was more like, well, after a while, it's like, okay, I could see why. You know, I look at myself and I wasn't this fantastic individual. And I, you know, what am I offering?
But it wasn't that. Right. So it interesting. But it wasn't that at all.
It wasn't that at all.
Little did you know until 30 years later, right?
Well, it's like so sad for your like 17, 18-year-old guy, right?
Yeah.
So you guys end up breaking up. Suzanne, you were the breaker-upper.
I was.
Dave, you go into the military.
Yes.
Suzanne, you go off to college. And just let our listeners know, like, how many years did it go by where it took for you guys to come back together?
30 plus, I'd say.
30 plus years.
Without contact. I mean, when I went in the military in the beginning of boot camp, she wrote me letters. I came back after boot camp. We hung out for a little bit, and then I shipped off to my duty station. That was kind of the end of it.
That was the end of it?
That was the end of it.
End of it because you guys just moved on and got into new relationships?
I think so.
I'd probably say, yeah. I mean, it was just...
Just life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were those 30 years like? Just, you know, that's a lot of time, but
for
each of you individually.
30 years of not being happy, just trial after trial. I went through a bad marriage and then I had two probably worse relationships. So, yeah.
So you have this like beautiful 2.5 years and then a long time of not being happy.
So I used to look back, you know, self-reflect, looking back like, you know, what if and where would we be and so on and so forth. And just, again, rolling back to, wow, so what did I do? I still couldn't let that what did I do go.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And how about for you, Suzanne?
Very similar, I'd say. I married a guy that my parents wanted me to marry. Mm. And that was a disaster. And again, didn't really, I stayed way longer. He moved to Phoenix and I didn't go. And I don't even know how I did that since I have to people please everyone. I'm not really sure, but I stubbornly stayed my ground then, but it took a little bit still. And then kind of jumped into another relationship fairly quickly. I really wanted a family and my stepkids were there and loved them and still do very much. So I think, you know, there were things, we both say that there are so many things that we got out of these mistakes that we made, but also, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of, you know.
Well, it doesn't feel like you were connected in your hearts the way the two
not
of
at
you
all.
Were.
Yeah.
Instantaneously. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So then how do you guys merge back into each other's lives?
Facebook. Facebook.
Oh.
The invention of Facebook.
Facebook.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you find her? I know you found her.
In one of my last bad relationship, the lady I was going out with, her son played baseball. And I was at a baseball game. And I don't even think she was there. And I was just sitting there and I remember, I mean, I would, like I said, I thought about her over those years all the time. I would come back and visit my family and see if I could just meet up with her. And it just never worked. Your parents didn't remember who I was.
Wow.
So I made that great impression on them. And so one day I was just on Facebook flipping through and I thought, man. So I just put her name in a search engine and and it popped up and looked at the picture, verified it was you. And it was just like sent her a message.
Wow.
And it's odd because it was like sent the message. I think it's like 2 months later, she responded.
Yeah.
And then it got to point because our lives were going.
Right.
And then I would get to point, and I'd look and then I would message her. And then 2 months later, so it was like
it's almost like your lives had to be in a certain state before you could actually merge.
Yes.
Because obviously that finally did happen because you guys got married again in 2012?
15.
You guys got back together in 2012, but...
So you guys get back together. You go through sort of like a period of time where you're talking. Tell us a little bit. I know like the stories... I want to hear the story again, though, about when you're working, you aren't living in the same town again.
In the same state.
Same state. And you guys, and you're talking to her at work. Could you just tell that?
Oh, my gosh. So as things progressed more, that was after, so it got to a point where we talked back and forth. I would still come back and visit. We tried to connect, never worked out. And then just till the one time it did. So I met her like at Whataburger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there she was again. So
in a punk rocker costume or just normal?
I should have done that.
She was actually leaving her mom. Her mom was in the hospital and she was kind of coming back from that. So we met and I was sitting in the Whataburger and she pulled up and I remember she got out of the car and I'm just like, damn, it was like
the same
right back from
that. Must have just been crazy feeling
from
internally.
The day that you know it's just another day flowing the next from our previous from high school. Yeah. Nothing changed,
like 30 years had not passed.
30 years, nothing up. It was just like the next day, like nothing ever happened.
Super comfortable.
The comfort was everything.
And then you guys start communicating.
We start communicating, and I left a couple days later. And I just like making a phone call. So I work for the post office and I'm out walking. And, you know, there's nothing to do. Nobody to talk to. You're just wandering the streets alone.
Delivering mail.
Yeah, great metaphor.
Oh, yeah. That. I mean, it got to a point where I remember calling her. I think I texted her and hey, what are you doing? Can you talk? Yeah. So I called her and it was like 4 hours at least, or however long the phone lasted, my phone battery lasted because it like dropped.
Time.
I remember just like died. And I'm like, you know, oh no, or whatever. She's going to be like, well, this idiot, now he's hanging, you know, we're done. He hangs up on me. But so I get back, I put a little charge on my phone. Hey, my phone died. Just
you
let
tomorrow.
You know, I didn't hang up on you, whatever. But it got to a point where on a daily basis, it was a call until the phones died.
So you guys haven't seen each other in 30 years. You were so tight then. What did you notice about each other that had changed or what was the same?
I think that he was still so much the same person because you were always so kind and loving, but you also had been through the military. So you were very different in a lot of ways too, just had been.
I had a driver's license then.
You had, he did drive.
No more yellow got happy. A driver's license.
Things had changed. Yeah, and he knew what he wanted. He talked to me a lot about things that he had struggled with in the past relationships and, you know, talking about family, the importance of family and addiction and very deep things because we both were like, we don't want to keep doing this. So, so we want to be sure that our values were aligned and things were, but I think you just had confidence more definitely. Than you had had before.
And I think we laid everything out on the line. From everything I've done, well, a lot of the stuff I've done in military things, I will never tell her, but relationships, like to every person I've dated or whatever, she literally knew everything.
Everything. You are very transparent.
And if, you know, because I realized that if you're holding things back or you're not, you know, letting that person in to let them know this is everything I've done, things like that that pop up actually turn out to be, you know, can be a lot worse than, you know, what it needs to be.
Well, and then taking that risk of losing each other again, it's like, let's just put it all out on the table because I don't want to go through that pain
I'm
again.
I'm done with that,
Because my question too was like, did you guys, when you came back together, did you tell Suzanne, like, gosh, for like 30 years, I took that all on myself. Like, I wasn't enough for you. Like, were you guys able to get to that point of where you understood, like, Suzanne broke up with you out of caretaking and people-pleasing her parents, that it wasn't about you? Like, how early on did that conversation happen?
Actually, I think that more came around when you guys came into play.
Gotcha.
I kind of didn't, I don't know if I kind of let that side of it go.
You were
I
mean, just
I just buried it. I'm more like, we're talking again, you know, we're back together. Yeah. So, you know.
Let's go to a therapist so we can unbury all the stuff too. But we'll get to that, right? Well, what did you notice about Suzanne? Because Suzanne said, right, more confidence with Dave, all of this. I mean, 30 years. What did you notice about Suzanne? Because like you said, it's like a day passed, even though it was 30 years. But
to me, I mean, this sounds I don't want it to sound bad, but first seeing her, she looked exact, to me, she looked exactly like she did in high school. Yeah. She says no, but to me, she did. So with that, seeing that she looked exactly that way, she's always been so amazing. She's been such a loving person. She's always been just
a firefly.
Sparkly. She's been my person, and it's really kind of hard to explain otherwise.
No, I feel that.
So when
energy.
I first saw that, it's like, my person's back.
Yeah. You don't see like physical.
I don't
just
see anything of just my person is there.
That is awesome.
So I think this is a great way to sort of begin to transition into, because you began working with Suzanne first. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the work was about
codependency.
About codependency and you deciding what you want and not morphing who you are to the external.
Exactly.
How did that work with Tara? And then how did it sort of layer into being with Dave?
Like, drag this poor guy. No, because Tara's awesome. I just said, I don't trust myself and my decisions. And there was so much that we had worked on. But I was like, and I felt much more confident in my decisions. But I was like, can you meet him? And you were like, absolutely, which was great. And the fact that he was willing was even better. And we just kind of talked through what would the red flags be ahead of time, which is awesome because I don't want to have to figure that out. You know, it just was really nice to be able to be like, this is what you tend to do and this is what he tends to do in a relationship. And that could be not a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. So we're trying to not get you into a rescuer, codependent type of relationship. Early on, because you guys had just spent 30 years apart, you knew what you struggled with, which was like setting healthy boundaries and people pleasing. For you, Dave, you're just like, in the moment I'm talking to Suzanne again, I'm bearing all the other stuff. Like, I'm just focused on this. So most couples come into couples counseling because it's either that or they're done, right? You guys decided to come in for prevention.
Definitely.
Because I was like, well, you guys are really happy and you're like glowing and you love each other and you're like on cloud nine and how can we help you? How can we help you? Because that's so rare. But this is why it's so important, right? Because couples think they're uniquely broken because they end up coming in a crisis. No, it's that mm-hmm. most couples don't do more preventative work to learn the skills to have what it takes to have a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Why go to counseling yeah. when you're not on the verge of breaking up?
I think we both look back at it as truly you guys changed our lives. This program changed our lives. And we will always tell you that. And I'm going to get emotional now. But honestly, it is so important. And I do agree with you. People don't realize that. But to sit and work through, because we all carry all this baggage from our old yeah. stuff, and to say this relationship is our absolute priority and we yeah. want to do it right. We don't, obviously we're humans and we're going to mess up, but to have the plans in yeah. place and the things that you guys taught us to be able to deal with the things as they came up were huge for us. They were yeah. just huge because we were starting in a much healthier place, and that makes all the difference. I do understand why people come in at the end.
Yeah.
But I really, truly believe that those things are already there if you could do it ahead.
Yeah.
How much more that sets you up for success is huge.
Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home, and it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson if you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner. We know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
Do you know that really quick, the latest research, we love plugging these numbers, that it takes the average couple 6 years of being in misery to reach out to couples counseling. Can you imagine all of the pain and suffering?
Oh my goodness.
6 years. So I love the idea of let's learn the skills and really understand ourselves and each other so we can set ourselves up for success instead of having to do it. We're in this like so much suffering. Now we're resentful. Like, exactly. I mean, this is why, I mean, we worked with you guys 7 years ago. I mean, we have not seen Dave and Suzanne as a couple in years. I think we met in 2020 during COVID because of a trauma yeah. in the family, but yes. like, you guys have maintained, you have more than maintained, you have growth, you've grown, you've blossomed. What has been like your, what do you do? Like I heard prioritize relationship.
Yes, very much so.
Right.
Has to happen.
And we know from the work we've done together, boundaries, how do we protect the two of us from the outside world? Mm-hmm. So share with the world, Dave and Suzanne.
I think it's a lot of it is right out of the gate for me was developing that trust in her that I could tell her, like I said, we talked. I've known people that have said that the guy won't talk to the wife or girlfriend or whatever, won't share. And I've actually had friends that have done this. They won't share what is really bothering them because it will come back in the end and bite them. It'll be used against them.
Yeah, weaponized.
So that trust with her. And I kind of felt that like when she started talking with you, and then I went in, and that was, for me, that was growth right out the gate. Okay, wow. I can talk to her, tell her, and trust in her and confide and let, hey, this is what's bothering me. This is, and not worry about her going, huh, well, let me write
using
that down.
Using it against you.
So remember 2 years ago yeah. when you told me whatever? I never have that worry.
Which had been just, your experience in other relationships.
That has been my experience 100%.
But then also, because I remember when we were working with you guys as a couple, you know, we like to do the somatic thing. Like, oh, Suzanne, I notice your face is getting redder. Dave, because of your military background, right? Like boxing, compartmentalizing.
Yes.
Deeper stuff.
Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. we can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you. And like, I feel like it was such a gift to be able to be with you guys in this organic way, to be like, Dave, like, notice your jaws clenching just a little, help you get more vulnerable. But like you said, that trust piece, that you can be vulnerable with each other, that you won't use it against each other. Mm-hmm. Like that was the, because I feel like both of you in your past relationships had like no emotional safety. I guess that's where I would.
So one of the primary tenets of our method is becoming your best selves together.
Yeah.
Right? And you came in, you weren't in crisis. So it really was centered around both of you personally growing in the context of your relationship. And then at the beginning of our method, we take you through each of your individual timelines, right?
Very
and we
much, yes.
From like zero to when you got together. And you guys had known each other for a long time, but what did you learn that was like deeper about each other, that you were like, whoa, what did I learn about my partner in like where their areas of growth were?
That was just really powerful for me. I think about that still when we're engaging in something, just because I knew so much of his story, but hearing it from his mouth to you guys, having you guys ask the kind of thoughtful questions you do, just made me feel so, all the things you went through. It just made me really understand you better. And it's crazy to say that, because I feel like there wasn't a lot of new information. Yeah. It's just that it was done so much more deeply.
Yeah.
And something that probably two people talking wouldn't get to in that way.
Yeah. Well, so you developed more compassion,
huge
empathy,
amounts of compassion and respect.
Yeah. And what you said is important too, because I think some couples who aren't in crisis, right? Like our at-home program, you can get through that through questions, but like sitting right where there's two other people observing your every movement and going somatically and recognizing like body language
can't
and stuff
hide
like
things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you probably still could, because we're not that good, but
yeah, you are.
But it helps you go that much deeper. But that's the safety piece. Like even when we have couples in crisis, we take them through the timeline of like birth until they met. And usually, most of the time, this empathy and compassion starts to build, which then is the building block for emotional safety to then be able to be vulnerable. But it just
in
takes
difficult
some
moments,
time to get there. And I feel like for you guys, you had 30 years of being in past relationships with no emotional safety. You're like, we will do it. I mean, for you guys to commit weekly, financially, everything, when you weren't in crisis, when you're like living your best lives together, says so many things about your relationship and the prioritization. And we're not sitting here saying it has been all rainbows and butterflies.
No.
Right? But
absolutely not.
Oh, no.
Tell the world, the listeners, how you have been able to navigate difficult times together instead of separating.
By doing it together.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, it's got to be a team effort. I can rely on her for anything. If I can't carry that load at 100%, I mean, she'll pick it up.
Yep.
And vice versa.
Yeah,
if she can't, I will definitely be glad to pick up the other slack of that.
How do you help each other grow in the areas that the other person doesn't totally want to grow, you know, or is struggling, right? Like you know,
load
like,
the dishwasher.
Can I? I'll throw something out with you, right? Like emotions, right? Like like when they come up, you have a thing that a lot of guys do, and we're like, don't show that. Like that's not safe. That's not what people want to see, right? So that's not your instinct. Mm-hmm. How do you support each other? Because there's got to be flip sides where there's areas of growth that she doesn't want to necessarily naturally engage in. Like, how do you support each other and give each other that helpful nudge and not
not a
kick in the ass? A kick in the ass, not a kick in the
right.
ass.
That's a really good question. I feel like you are much better at being a little more vulnerable. I see it and then I just a little bit, and then I know – how to come in and really, you know, talk to you in a way that feels safe rather than trying to let you just shove that down.
Yeah.
Because I know that you need to talk about it and you are used to compartmentalizing everything. So, but I also know when it's, he needs to do that first. There are times that
attunement.
Yeah. And I've learned that over time, like when it just needs to be he with himself for a while and then come out. And for my own self, I think just learning the same thing, safety and speaking and not allowing myself, I have to work on that, my own self, just not allowing myself to shut down and really say what, because he isn't going to, reminding myself he's different. He's not going
to
do.
Yeah, I want you to have your voice. I want you to be able to say what you need to say.
Yeah.
You don't want her to morph in order to please you.
Exactly. I've had enough of that. I want you to be you because, you know, when I met her, falling for her was, she was this just amazing person, outgoing and just, you know, hi, bubbly and everything else. And when we got back together again, she was that way, but I knew there was more.
Yeah.
So everything just, and she was beat down in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching her grow.
Oh, we got you.
I'm just super proud of her. It's like, you know.
Very proud of you.
What's that like for you guys? You guys didn't have that experience for 30 years. You had 30 years of trying to find people who really cared enough to accept you for who you were, to be attuned. And then in your late 40s, early 50s, finding like coming back to that person. What's that like?
Why do we wait so long?
I know. We do that a lot. We are so grateful. I think we feel a lot of gratefulness all the time, which is, it helps so much in dealing with everything else in life that happens.
Yeah.
But yes, we often kick ourselves and say, you know, more in a laughing, joking way, but wow, we took a long way around getting back together. Long path, broken road. That was our song at our wedding. And it was
God bless us, that's what it was. Road.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I will say I can relate with EJ and I, just like when you find the person that you know you can feel safe with, that's when you can do all the work.
Yes.
Definitely.
But you can't do that unless you have that safety. And so it's like so many people never get to find it. So it is that gratitude of like, even though it's messy and it feels super uncomfortable and it's like, it's like knowing that like when you develop emotional safety, that's when you can grow. Because otherwise it's too scary. Like if I can't count on one person in my life to have my back, I'm just going to like not be uncomfortable. But growing is uncomfortable. And I love that you guys are helping yourselves be your best selves together. It's why we created what we did after our own like, I'm out of here. Exactly. Leave it. I didn't sign up for this, but I love you.
So, I mean, I think it's also important for people to hear this. Like, are there still difficult moments?
Of course. Definitely. I mean, a lot of it is external, but even the littlest stuff, like you said, the dishwasher, we joke still about the dishwasher. We've talked about the dishwasher since we got together.
Since with you guys, we talked about the dishwasher.
I'm the raccoon loader.
One looks like a Scandinavian architect. The other looks like a raccoon on crack. So,
you know. I'm the crack one.
It is the truth. It is the truth. But we've had a lot of external sadness. We've lost a lot of people.
We've gone through family members and friends.
Grief and
a lot of grief. And but that's been, again, a thing that has just brought us closer because we aren't afraid to feel all those feelings and say, you know what, today's another day where I'm missing my mom. Or
if there's a fight to be had, we are so much better together than apart.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have actually learned to take things head on. And if it's a head on thing, we're running at it hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the boundaries have, which I still work on, let's be honest. But I mean, I think we went from going on a vacation together where I called my parents every few hours and he went, you know, not everyone does that.
And I was like, the phone rings. It's like, I got to get this.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know,
there's a green and a red button there.
Yeah. Really?
Another thing called voicemail. And if it's important, they'll leave a message. Yes. You can go
things that I just didn't even know. And
I used to have this like little internal like song for you when you come in, like, here have I come to save the day, the Mighty Mouse. Because Suzanne was she did it all.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
So, I mean, you two are two of the most kind and giving people I've ever met in my life. Like literally.
It's so true.
Other people that you guys have helped over the years. I mean, not one, not two, but like many people, right?
Yes, I have goosebumps.
How about that balance between making us a priority and everybody, all the care we give to other people? Like how has that been and how is that?
I think because we're so aligned with what we feel and want to do for people, that helps. Because if one of us was like, no, the other one wasn't, and that would make it really difficult. But we don't have date nights. I will tell the truth. We keep saying we're going to have date nights and we don't. We still struggle.
Yep.
We still struggle with certain things, but we do a lot together. We work out together. We played D&D last night with some friends that I've never played
nerds
in my life.
We're official D&D nerds.
Yeah, we're nerds now. And just finding new
late
things.
Late stagers.
That's what I said. Who knew at 59 I would learn to play D&D?
Didn't want me then, so.
Oh my God.
So we just try to, you know, have a lot of family events with the kids all together. And, you know, we definitely, though, still, if one of us needs to talk, we say so. And that's different because before we'd just shove it down and try to figure it out later. And now I think we're better at saying, okay, this isn't going away, so we need to talk about it. Or also everything that was maybe more dramatic and from my old life is not the same anymore. It's not like that. So I don't feel, because I'm a feeling kind of girl.
Yes,
and
we
you're
know.
A military man. And so therefore.
So I have no feelings. So therefore I have no feelings.
No feelings, but they're, So we've had to figure that out. But so many of the things that you guys gave us, you gave us so many tools that
I mean, because you guys did all the work. We were there to help facilitate and support you. But like, there were all these people in the background, all the different obstacles. You could have easily said, this is just too much. We've got too many people that are too hurt right now that are broken. And like, what do you mean? Like, you and Dave are going to get back together, whatever that was.
Yes.
And our job was to help you follow your intuition, your gut instinct, your heart, and to prioritize yourselves and each other first. Then you can deal with all of that out external noise. And it's so great that you did that, because if you hadn't, I don't know if you guys would be sitting here together, right? Because you had a difficult external situations when you came back together 30 years later.
Oh, yes.
And what would, right? Because now you have been married for nine.
This will be 10 years.
In October. What would people close to you now say about Suzanne and Dave? Like, if I was just going to ask one of your kids, one of your best friends, like, hey, what do you, give me 2-3 adjectives to describe Suzanne and Dave and their relationship.
I get goals a lot of times from the younger people at church. They're always teasing us.
We seem to adopt kids and people from church. I mean, we have two of our great friends, Kevin and Shelley, fantastic people. And their kids are, as a matter of fact, last Sunday at church, Kevin was there. And their daughter, she's like, hi, learning in front of him, comes up to me, oh, hi, I love you, my real dad. And it's like, he's right there. And it's almost like, I mean, it's out of fun
humor.
And humor.
Yeah.
But it's like, we've taken on so many kids. And so on. It's just like, everybody has drawn to us because of who we are.
Unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like, what would that adjective be?
I think that is it. Just, it's not judgment. You know, neither of us feel.
It's a welcoming.
Yeah.
Do you think that's part of that 30 years apart? Is it going through all of that?
Yes.
Has left you apart?
No, knowing what I had and had lost is not doing that again. You know?
Neither.
So.
Yeah. No, I think that does play into it as well. You do realize what you didn't have.
Look at what the two of you have built together is now impacting in the community, within your family and the community.
Yeah.
So you had a couple of questions that you wanted to end with.
Uh-oh.
So let's bring out the heavy artillery, so to speak.
I might do 2 to 3 questions. Would that be okay?
Yes, it would be okay.
Because I feel like I might know one of these, but I just want to see if it's the same because this is years ago.
Okay.
What is your go-to ritual or habit as a couple that helps you reconnect when life gets hectic?
Actually, will you say first?
No, you go.
I was going to say the newer thing, which that means Tara won't be right. Well, maybe she will be. But
the newer thing being?
We now make sure to set our alarm 15 minutes ahead. When we need to get up and get going. And we go and snuggle in bed.
That is the best. That's like the best 15 minutes of the day.
It starts you off.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
You set your alarm for everybody listening 15 minutes early just to snuggle.
Just to snuggle so you can still be sleepy.
Fill that bucket before the day starts.
Yeah, because his hugs have always been my safe place. So just getting before you go run around and start going crazy.
Yep.
So can I tell you what my answer was?
Tell me.
Vegas. Your yearly Vegas. You'd be so busy and helping these people and taking in all these families and children and animals even maybe.
We still do that.
But then you'd go to Vegas and you're like, it's our Vegas time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And I'm like,
and
yes.
we still do that.
I'm
yes,
so
do.
Happy you still do that. But now you do a daily thing, not just a yearly thing.
Yes. Well, that's a good example of like, we talk to couples about like having a big thing that's annual, but then having some daily chunk, 15 minutes.
It's because we never got to that point where we've lost out on our date nights.
Yeah.
Because life is hectic. And
yeah.
But so now it's like, well, we need to get something back or get something in.
Yeah.
And it was like,
super easy.
You know, it's great. I mean, you can do a date night, but if you go to a movie, what do you talk? You know, you hold hands, whatever, you're kind of not really present.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah.
So that 15 to 20 minutes.
I love that.
And try and push it. Is it time? And I'm like looking at my phone. It's time
Three
to go.
More
no,
minutes.
We still got 5 more minutes. I'm going to be
I
late,
make
but whatever.
Keep the time. You know? I don't even worry.
So.
Yeah. I know ours is like just playing Yahtzee in front of the fireplace, like for 20 minutes, kids are in the back room because we've accepted that we might not be able to get out on a date night weekly, monthly, quarterly. We try. But we still have those moments of quality time where we're just connecting. Okay, 2 more questions. I love this question. If your relationship had a theme song now, what would it be?
We listen to more podcasts and music, so this can be a tough one. I've got a couple of them. One is a Kenny Chesney song, is Don't Blink.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that.
That's a really good
one. And then Alan Jackson, Remember When.
Yes, those are both really good.
Can you just tell us a little bit about each one, like why?
The Alan Jackson one is kind of like they knew each other long ago and they kind of separated, but they got back together. And it's more of now the kids who've grown up and they moved away and we're older and we're not all of us are gray. Some of us are
a little more so than
others. I took on the salt. She still got the pepper. So it's kind of like, and they're still in love and it's, through everything.
All the changes.
They're still there for each other.
Oh, I love that.
I love that too.
So you're in agreement with your theme songs.
I am. I'm very bad at remembering songs or names.
I know, me too. I just like remember verses.
Uh-huh.
Like,
Yeah, if you tell me them, I can sing them, but yeah.
Okay, I have maybe 2 more. This is important, right? Because we know what we would say to a couple who's on the fence about couples therapy. You'd be like, get it now. It's a good thing. But what would you guys say to a couple who's on the fence about going to couples therapy?
Do it.
I'm just saying, do it.
It would be the best thing you could do to spend your money and your time on over so many things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are hesitant because of counseling, therapy. You know, what is this going to – they're going to ask me all these questions and – you know, it's hard.
What if they think I'm bad?
Yeah.
What if they're judgment?
They're going to look at me and be like, wow, this dude, you need to dump this guy. He is a real piece of work.
It's not like that. There's no judgment and your therapists are here for you.
Yeah.
So you have nothing but support. And yes, you're going to ask some questions, but I think the growth that happens and the good things that come out of that is way higher than any discomfort you're going to feel. It's just, that's credit where we found you two as much safe. As mm-hmm. I know you want to credit us, but we just would not be where we are. We wouldn't. And we know that. And we say that often to people. And that's when we get the, you were getting divorced or you were separating.
Oh, we're
and
so we sorry. Say,
no,
no.
We actually chose to do this ahead of time because we really, really wanted to do it right. And
I love this.
You guys are amazing and your program is amazing. And
thank you. Yes, so I guess that the final question is, because you have been with us, gosh, we started in 2016. You started coming to us in 2017 because we started our business. Right now, reflecting, right, like 8 years later, what does relationship renovation mean to you now?
I have constant flashbacks, constant, because there's always something that's going to come up in human relations. And
we have those tools that we know to fall back on. And it's our Bible of how to navigate our marriage. And when things pop up, you know, it's just like flip that page. A, B, C, D, you know, these are kind of the steps, or this is what you look at.
I've added 100 more pages since y'all have been.
That's insane. We need to update.
I know, right?
Can I just share one last thing? Because I know we're running out of time, but you're such a glowing example of developing emotional safety within your relationship so that you can be whoever you need to be, right? The freedom to give and be loved in the way that we each uniquely deserve. And so thank you, because it is such freedom and so many people don't even know what emotional safety feels like. And we always say, it is easier to be alone than to be in a relationship where you feel alone, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're developing emotional safety within the two of you, it's like life is already stressful. We know this. Way more manageable together. So thank you. Thank you for the work you have done to model this to our community, to our listeners. You guys are awesome. And I'm sure listeners, if you want to reach out, Dave and Suzanne are more than happy to respond back to any questions.
Definitely.
And we've had other listeners reach out to other couples who've been on our show in the past. Like, is it okay if we contact them? We're like, absolutely, but let's make sure first. So.
Yes, definitely.
We give you. Yes,
well, thank you. Permission. We've been looking forward to doing this for really, honestly, years.
Yes.
And so
for years, I know.
Like with your relationship and you guys coming together, things happen at the right time. And
yes,
so
definitely.
Very appreciative of you guys coming on and sharing your story.
Same. And just like we end every session where we have you guys look at each other and say one thing you really appreciate about the other person, I think that would be a great ending to this episode.
Just your ability to show that heart that you have. You now have such a way of bringing that out and just really sharing your feelings. And I don't think anyone ever questions how you feel about them ever.
One thing, and this is really hard because it's like the pool is so big on things I appreciate. I appreciate that you're always there for me, that I can, if I have a question, or if something's happening in my life where I need to, like, I got to talk to somebody, and you're always my somebody I can talk to, that I never have to worry about, you know, it's, you're my safe space. And I appreciate that you've given me that safety net. So.
Do the same.
This is beautiful.
Thank you once again. Mm-hmm. It's always been great to sit with you guys and talk. And thanks for your willingness to share your story, because it's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story. And we love that we still get to like be with you in different ways now, but awesome ways. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you know somebody that would just love to hear this episode and story, please share. We always love reviews, so thank you out there for doing that. And as always, take care of yourself, take care of each other.
Bye-bye.
It does wonders. Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?